Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been talking Browns. We'll continue to talk Browns as we head out to the fan hotline. Joins us every Wednesday at 9:20, covers the Browns for Cleveland.com. It is our good friend, Dan Lobby. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, Jake, how are you doing?
Listen, Dan, I said they had to not lose by 28, and they went out and won the damn thing in the last 4 minutes. I'm on top of the world.
Yeah, I guess they got your message. They didn't lose by 28, so there you go. It took a while for them to figure out the offense, but they did it just in time.
Okay, so obviously, Browns fans, rightfully so, very excited. Browns fans needed a win after watching 8 straight losses. It had been 10 months since the team had had a win. How long do we get to hold on to this one and celebrate a win versus the Packers?
You get to hold on to it until they kick off against Detroit on Sunday. I think they should enjoy this as much as they can. You know, we'll find out how real it all was, right? I think that defense is very real. I think that defensive line is very real. I think it's very concerning, though, when the offense goes, nearly 57 minutes without scoring a point, and they need an interception return to the 4-yard line to actually have a chance to get in the end zone. But look, you beat a really good Packers team, a team that people think is a Super Bowl contender. They really had no business. I mean, like we talked about last week, it didn't feel like this was a game they were going to win, and you stole one. So it's better to be 1-2 than 0-3. You'll take it, and now it makes this Detroit game a little more interesting.
Dan, obviously, considering what the Packers are, right? Like the NFC favorite to come out to get to the Super Bowl, you win that game. Is this a win that should revitalize the fan base in terms of their hopes for a Browns season moving forward, where it felt like we were walking into that game like a lot of people had basically reached apathy?
You know, I think this is a game we'll find out. That was a great win, obviously, for a lot of reasons, but we've seen it before where teams, a team like the Packers, they go on the road for the first time, they've got Micah Parsons return to Dallas coming up the next week, right? There's a lot of reasons they could have overlooked that game or kind of sleptwalked a little bit in that game. And the reality is for as poorly as the Packers played, if they do anything other than throw that ball on third down, then we might be talking about an 0-3 football team here. So, and I don't want to take away from that win. A win is a win, and you'll never complain about it. But I think what we'll really find out is how does this team respond on the road, another really difficult opponent, another team that could be a Super Bowl contender. If they go into Detroit and they win that game, then it's time to maybe get excited. Maybe we underestimated what this football team can be.
All right, Dan, last one here on the Packers game before we turn the page and look. I looked at things. I said that it was too early. You could have brought in competition, but a lot of people calling for Andre Schmidt's job after just week one. As people turn and look at it after he knocks home a 55-yard game winner, do fans owe Andre Schmidt an apology?
I don't think they do. I don't think it's abnormal to, look at a situation where a guy who had never kicked in an NFL game before and cost you that game by missing 2 kicks that are pretty makeable by an NFL kicker. I don't think it's unfair to say, should the Browns look to at least maybe bring someone else in, add somebody to the practice squad, work some guys out. And they didn't do any of that. So I don't think it's unfair just because, to play the results out. Obviously, he makes that kick on Sunday. He kicked really well against Baltimore. It seems like the Browns made the right decision. But in the moment, in real time, I think there had to probably be some discussions even in that building. Like, are we sure about this guy? Are we sure we don't want to at least hedge a little bit in this situation? And it's a credit to the Browns for sticking by him. And I think even more of a credit to Andre for paying him off.
All right, let's turn the page as the Browns get ready for week 4 against the Lions. Obviously, very difficult matchup coming up. Injury report didn't give me any hopes today, Dan, as we see a lot of names pop up that I wasn't expecting to pop up. Grant Delpit, Shelby Harris, Denzel Ward, Cedric Tillman, David Njoku. How concerning is it to see all of those guys and, you know, a couple more that were expected to be on the report and either be limited or not practice at all?
I usually don't get too concerned about the length of the injury report till Friday. So that's really the one that counts when they tell us, okay, is the guy questionable? Is the guy out? This team tends to put a lot of guys on the injury report. They kind of cover themselves by making sure they had everybody. Now, that doesn't mean that, for example, Denzel Ward, that was a little surprising that he didn't practice today. And then today is his normal media availability day. He talks at the podium, and he didn't talk today. And we've seen guys talk when, I mean, Joel Bitonio didn't practice at all last week, and he still talked on his normal Thursday day. So it makes you think a little bit like, okay, is there something here with this Denzel Ward injury? And obviously this is not the week when you would want to have your top cornerback out against that Lions passing attack and that Lions offense. So that's the one that I kind of have circled that I'm kind of like, all right, we'll keep an eye on this. I'm not real worried about Shelby Harris. We saw him riding the bikes on the side. You know, I would imagine he would be back out there. He's a veteran guy. Sometimes these guys just get days like this. We'll see how that plays out. But outside of just kind of monitoring, will Jack Conklin play this week? He was obviously back at practice. Any chance Mike Hall could be back? It doesn't seem to be trending that way. Other than those two things, Denzel Ward's the one that I'm really keeping an eye on.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, with us here on the Fan Hotline. You mentioned Jack Conklin. So if I look at things right now, obviously concern for the offensive line. You're not going to be without DeJuan Jones. They announced that he's having season-ending surgery. Jack is going through limited practice. And it was basically a game-time decision the last 2 weeks and wasn't able to go. What do the starting tackles look like if Jack Conklin, you know, gets to Sunday and still isn't available?
Well, it's never good when you're signing a tackle, you know, at the beginning of the week. Obviously, with putting DeJuan on IR, there was going to be a roster move. But, you know, it makes you wonder how much faith they have in a guy like KT Leviston, who they went out and traded for at the deadline to bring in and get a look at, obviously played for the Rams. It worries you a little bit about kind of what they think of that position and the depth at that position, that they go out and they get Thayer Munford today. They sign him off New England's practice squad. So I'm a little concerned about where that position is at. Obviously getting Jack Conklin back would be big when he's healthy and on the field. He's still one of the better right tackles in the league, but Cornelius Lucas is a veteran swing guy. Leviston has not been very good. You know, DeJuan Jones wasn't playing great, and he kind of lost that left tackle job. He started at right tackle on Sunday, but at least you knew what you were getting in DeJuan. At least you could plan for what he was and what you could expect from him. If Jack Conklin can't go, I'd be worried about this tackle position until he's back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, on the other side of the ball, Lions offense is as dangerous as dangerous comes. If we look at this, is that too good of an offense to expect the Browns defense can hold them in check and keep this game competitive the way that they did week one against the Bengals and the way that they did week three against the Packers?
I think anything is possible with this defense. I legitimately think they're that good. Now, the one thing that if Browns fans are looking for hope on is, you know, you look at week one for the Lions, and they played the Packers that week, and the Packers are in that discussion, right, for one of the best defenses in the NFL. That didn't change just because they lost that game on Sunday. So the Lions scored 13 points in that game, and it was really 6 points because the last touchdown was just some garbage time one-handed catch by Isaac Tesla. It was, you know, it was 6 points. So that's the best defense they've played. Then they played the Bears. They played the Ravens. I don't think the Ravens are a very good defense right now. So maybe and this is a big maybe, maybe this Lions offense, if it goes against another elite defense, will struggle again. Now, I thought they were a little more bland in week one than they were in weeks two and three. So maybe they had some meetings and said, look, let's get back to some of that fun Lions offense that we're used to. And of course, we saw that a lot on Monday night. We'll see. We'll see if that was just a weird week one result, or we'll see if an elite defense that can create pressure really can cause problems for this Lions offense.
If I'm looking at the quarterback position right now, obviously we have not gotten good quarterback play for the Browns. Is there a chance that if you go through the first half and it looked the way that, you know, it did against Green Bay, you had 0 points, the offense crossed the halfway mark just one time, and it was on the final drive, that Joe would actually be benched at halftime and Dylan Gabriel would come in to provide a spark?
Kevin is not a guy that usually makes changes like that in game, but it wouldn't. We're to the point now where it would not surprise me if they considered making that move. The problem with Joe Flacco here right now is it just feels like, especially in this Packers game, for whatever reason, they just don't want him to take shots, or he's not taking shots. I don't know if they're just petrified of turning the football over. And I can't blame them, because the only way teams have been able to score on this defense for the most part is when they've had short fields. So, they're kind of playing this old school Big Ten style of, let's win the field position game, let's get some turnovers and try and get short fields for the offense, let's make sure the other side doesn't get short fields on our defense, and let's try and win these games like Sunday 13-10, or like against Cincinnati, they would have won that game with a couple of kicks 20-16 or 20-17. So that's kind of how they're trying to play. But, I said this to somebody today, I'm like, asking Joe Flacco to not sling the ball around a little and take some risks is almost like asking Lamar Jackson to just be a pocket passer, or just throw off 3- and 5-step drops. You do have to let Joe Flacco be Joe Flacco a little bit. And that might mean an interception, that might mean a game where he turns the ball over a little bit, but if he can add some explosiveness and push the ball down the field, I do think you've got to find ways to take some of those chances.
Dan, do you think he's still the quarterback that gives the Browns the best chance to win?
I think he does, but it's close. And the only reason I think he does is because he's a veteran guy who really understands this offense. And I think you saw on Sunday a couple instances where guys were lining up and Joe had to kind of like redirect them, or had to, there were a couple times he was like signaling frantically for a guy to move. There was a play where Cedric Tillman was lined up and they were trying to get him to go into motion. I don't know if he just didn't notice it or whatever, but Joe was like frantically trying to get him in motion. I think that series at the end of the game when they ran that play perfectly to get up and get the ball spiked, that's in part because he had a veteran quarterback running things. So I think just Joe being a veteran and kind of understanding where guys need to be and what guys need to do and how to run this offense gives him an edge. But I think it's a really slight edge right now. And if they believe Dylan Gabriel can handle that stuff, that's when he maybe gets his shot.
Again, Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com with us here. I guess if you're looking at Joe, how long does it become before the locker room doesn't believe that statement's true, right? That he gives you the best chance to win. Because every guy out there has said the right things. They said that they believe in him. They believe in the offense to get going. At what point does that sort of turn the corner?
Honestly, if losses keep piling up, they bought themselves some time on Sunday. And I think, as weird as this sounds, like if they lose that game on Sunday, maybe you can make that switch this week. But because you win, even though you didn't win because of anything he did, you didn't win because of your offense, just on vibes alone, you almost can't make the quarterback change. So I think if they start to lose again, if they continue to struggle offensively, that's when you do start to lose guys. Now, the good thing with Joe is he came in with a pretty long leash in this locker room. There's a lot of guys in there that believe in him, that were here in 23 and have a lot of faith in Joe Flacco. But that starts to fade if it does become like, hey, man, we're not scoring any points. We're not winning football games. This stinks. Let's see if somebody else can get this going. I think you're, maybe 2-3 weeks away from maybe that happening. I think it's close.
If we're talking about, Joe having to uncork the football a little bit and them having to let him, basically be Joe, do you think the lack of that right now, would you attribute it more to Kevin Stefanski and the way that this offense is operating it, or more towards Joe and maybe a lack of trust in the offensive line?
It's probably both. I would actually credit it more towards kind of how Stefanski wants this thing to play, especially specifically on Sunday. And I think both coaches kind of played like that on Sunday. And Matt LaFleur pretty much said it out loud. Like, he knew that that offense, if they gave them short fields, that was the only way they were going to be able to score. And then, of course, they make that huge mistake on that third down. So I think they are very much in the mode, especially after that Baltimore game when they kept putting that defense in bad position after bad position. I think after that, Kevin looked at it and said, our best way to win is to run the football, play the field position game. I mean, there was a convertible third down in this game where they kind of just ran a draw play and punted. And it's funny to say that about an offensive-minded head coach, a guy that has come here as a quarterback guy. You know, he's the play caller. But I think Kevin, and this kind of goes back to 2023 too, when he was winning games with P.J. Walker and DTR, if he has to, if he thinks it's the best way to win, he's going to play a style that protects the football, plays the field position game, and allows his defense to try and make some plays.
All right, Dan, we go straight to the point. How much of a chance do you give them to beat the Detroit Lions?
I mean, I hate to say this after they beat the Packers, and I don't think the Lions' defense is as good as Green Bay's. I think their offense is much better than Green Bay's. I think the line is 8.5 still. I might pick the Browns to cover, so it could be a closer game. I would be surprised if they beat Detroit this week.
Dan, as always, we appreciate you setting aside the time. Always good to talk to you. And who knows? Maybe we're talking about miracles in back-to-back weeks. Maybe we're just all smiles coming back next week, and the team's 2-2, and we're just probably scratching our heads wondering how it happened.
Yeah, right. Hey, look, if we get good radio hits off of it, I don't mind being wrong.
We always take those, Dan. We always take those.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yep, appreciate you. Dan Lavi of Cleveland.com with us there on the Fan Hotline.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.